Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, while walking through a graveyard, the emotions came over him so intensely that he had to leave. Was it from the headstone that he touched?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. Or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Now, if you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Kathy Gordon.
No, you're
playing
not.
The part of Kathy Gordon today would be me.
And hello.
Carol Hughes is with me. Have you ever just gone walking through a cemetery just to go walking through the cemetery?
You know, it's funny you would mention that because I have, and there's actually very famous cemeteries that you do that on purpose. They're kind of destination sites, right? Like you want to go see Chopin's grave in Paris.
Or right. You want to go
in Boston,
find, yeah.
You know, there's the great cemetery in the middle of Boston on that Freedom Trail that you walk on, and you're going to mm-hmm. see, you know, people like Sam Adams' grave or
yeah.
people like that. But the other day I was driving, I had to go to a meeting. And so about 50 miles away. So I'm driving and I don't know, maybe I'm 20 or 30 miles away out in the country. And there's this little sign I see, and it had the name something cemetery, and it was kind of handwritten Gothic lettering with a little arrow that pointed down this kind of little road off that way. And, you know, it kind of struck me, maybe I should do that, right? Maybe I should just turn and go over there to this cemetery and go walking around it. But there's something that kind of, and every now and then that happens, right? You're out driving and you see some little old cemetery and yet...
It just kind of draws you in.
It kind of draws you in, and yet at the same time, could there be something that kind of sticks with you if you go?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, if I go, am I going to run into something?
Well, I went, my friend Veronica, it was like a year ago, she loves to go bird watching. She's great. I know that sounds super stupid, but like, I really like birds. And sure. So Veronica is a really good bird watcher and she knows all of the birds.
Well, that's a great thing.
Right? It's so cool. And so yeah. She wanted to go bird watching. And I said, where do you want to go? And she's like, well, there's a cemetery. It's right in the middle of town. So it's like the oldest cemetery in town. And it's beautiful. They keep it up really nice and kind of like little rolling hills. And so we're looking at birds. And actually, I have better luck in my own backyard than we had that day. But anyways, nothing paranormal happened, but it was weird. So we're walking around, walking. We go walking through the old part of the cemetery, and we stopped to look at something. And so I glanced down, and literally right at my feet, and this was in the old part of the cemetery, this guy I knew, Bud Norman, he had written for the paper for years. It was his grave. I'm standing right at it. I had no idea he was buried there. And it was almost like knew I was there and he wanted me to stop by. Is that weird?
Yeah.
It was just a weird feeling because the cemetery is huge. There are hundreds and hundreds of gravestones in it. And the fact that we're just walking and then we stopped to look at a bird, I'm assuming, and then look down and it's like, oh my God, that's Bud's grave. And like in the 1880s, 90s, early 1900s part of the cemetery. So I was not expecting that.
Yeah, that's really strange.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool though at the same time. Okay, so this story has to do with the cemetery. So it says, having been sensitive my entire life, I'm not saying I'm psychic, but I've always been able to feel things. If I walk into a building or even sometimes a room, I've been able to pick up on things. If the place just felt bad, negativity, even once to the point of being physically ill. My grandmother's side of the family was from Kentucky, and she told me it was called second sight. She said there had been people with a gift on her side of the family for as long as she could remember. As I got older, I got into history and found it interesting to walk through rural cemeteries and read headstones. On one such outing, I was wandering through a small hilltop family plot, just taking my time, reading each headstone, and thinking how some of the families that had founded our country were still present. In our area of Texas, I'm not sure about any place else, the fever, is what this person calls it, came through in about 1918, which makes me think that's that Spanish flu that went
through. I think
through,
so, too.
Because that was about the same time. And millions of people died across the world. The fever came through about 1918, and a lot of families lost loved ones. I was walking along when I noticed a tall marker flanked by three small ones on one side and two that were a bit larger on the other. I stopped and started to read them, and the largest was a woman, and the three smallest were her children. The two somewhat larger ones were her first husband and her second husband, all claimed in the year 1918 by the fever epidemic that swept through our area. Which is weird, her first husband and second husband all died in 1918.
Divorce would be weird then. Well, or he died and then she quick remarried again. That seems odd, but
it also kind of makes sense for the time, like 1918. She needs income. She's got three kids. You know, I don't know the timing of everything. So maybe the first husband could have died in January. The second husband could have died in December, in an accident or something.
You know, we don't know what he died from.
The sad thing was the woman had survived and lived to an old age. So the kids and the two husbands all died in the same year. She died much later.
Oh, wow.
That's sad that she lost five people in a year.
Yeah, you know, I hear about people that, you know, live that these things happen to, and they still somehow find the strength to go on. Mm. And I'm not sure how. But that's really something sad.
So it goes on. I was standing there thinking how sad and how hard it must have been on her. And I was thinking what her life must have been like. Without thinking, I reached out and rested my hand on the top of her stone. That in itself was odd because I'd never done that before. All I can say was it suddenly felt like someone had dropped a heavy, wet quilt on me. And I felt such intense emotion. I lost sense of even where I was for a couple of moments. I felt overwhelming sadness, loneliness, fear, and even total panic. I yanked my hand back and fought the urge to just turn and run to the gate and leave, but I managed to walk to the gate, but all the way feeling dread, like something horrible was following me. I got to the gate, spun around, and closed it. I got to my car shaking so hard I couldn't get the door open. All I could think about doing was praying out loud and saying how sorry I was. I'm not sure who I was apologizing to. It was 11 miles back to town and I had to pull my car over when I got into town where I could at least see other people around and calm myself down. It took several months before I could manage to go back to that family plot, but I did. I didn't touch that woman's stone again, but I did walk up to her burial site and tell her how sorry I was for her and that I had prayed for her and her family. P.S. I have a best friend who is president of the County Historical Commission here. On Memorial Day, his job is to place flags on all the veterans' graves, even in that small family plot. I told him what had happened to me there. He just kind of looked at the ground and smiled and said, John, I won't even go in there without carrying my Bible. For what it's worth, second sight, as my granny called it, isn't much of a gift as it is a curse. End of story. Hmm. I think that's interesting. So, like, he reached out and touched a grave, and then that happened. Like, it makes me think it's connected.
But it does, and yet could he have just had a panic attack?
Coincidentally.
You could be so overwhelmed with emotion that, you know, it, you know, morphed into a panic attack of some sort. It does sound like a panic attack, but, you know, the fact that it just happened right at that moment and that he felt that heavy weight, you know, right then and there.
It seems connected because he put the hand on the headstone and then boom, the wet quilts feeling came over him.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it could have been a panic attack. It was just prompted by this, you know, his response to whatever this heavy weight was. It seems, I don't want to say evil, but it does seem dark because the other person said, I won't even go there without my Bible, you know, for protection, I'm assuming is what they meant by that. And this time when they went back, well, I won't even, you know, touch it. I will just tell them I'm sorry or whatever. So that was odd to me that it was a dark spirit because he didn't go there with darkness. He went there with sympathy.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it was almost like he picked up on all of her emotions in the year 1918.
Mm-hmm.
When she, maybe, you know, maybe, it was just so traumatic and he picked up on all of that. But I love that he went back just to say, I'm really sorry that you dealt with that.
I was surprised when you said that. I just totally expected him to say, and I never went back, the end.
Nope,
and then
but
he went
did.
Back.
Okay, so here's another story. It says, my name is Elizabeth. I have only had a few potentially paranormal experiences in my life, which is good because although I am addicted to your show and other paranormal podcasts and TV shows, I have to force myself to stop listening after dark so I'm not too scared to go to sleep. I can
you and us
to
both.
That. I'm the same way. The experience I'd like to tell you today took place in September or October last year at my college. People say that the ghost of a dead student haunts the third floor of the residence hall I lived in last year, but I bet most colleges have similar urban legends, so I don't know how true the story is. This is funny. We're just a few episodes ago, we were talking about haunted dorms and colleges and how there's so many stories from colleges.
Well, and the other thing that you're that seems to be is the third floor.
True. So this story says, I'll call the res hall. So I guess that's residential hall. I never lived on a dorm on campus. I'll call the res hall S hall. And it was my first year living there. My friend told me the year before about walking to the laundry room late at night and experiencing the heavy door of the creepy bathroom down there slam shut as she walked past it. It may have been a draft, but I still refuse to look in the creepy bathroom when I go to do laundry. Anyway, my experience took place in the parlor on the first floor. The room is the size of almost half of the floor, so it's a large room. One hall has the main doors, and on the same wall a couple feet to the left is a pair of glass doors that lead into the small study room. On this night, the doors were either closed or open just a crack, but I don't remember which. I was doing homework and listening to music in the main parlor around 11 p.m. The table I was sitting at was in the back of the room, just to the right of the main doors, if you're facing into the room. I was the only person there. All of a sudden, the television across the room turned on full blast, and I jumped, startled. I looked up and looked around the room, thinking that maybe I hadn't noticed someone come in. When I saw no one else, I walked over to the couches that sat in front of the TV to see if someone was there, and I couldn't see them from where I was sitting. There was no one there. And the only remote I could see was on the table next to the TV. I turned around and two girls walked out of the study room. I jumped again before I realized they were actually living people. I thought, oh, there must be another remote. And they turned it on. And they said, oh, there's someone out here. They looked at me and asked if I had turned the TV on. I told them no, that I'd been doing homework across the room. We looked at each other, freaked out, since clearly none of us had done it, and the TV continued to blast a random soccer game. When the girls retreated back to the study room full of nervous energy, I turned off the TV and decided it was time for bed. I got the hell out of the room as fast as I could. I have two possible explanations for this occurrence, other than it might have been a ghost. I know there is a universal remote app that you could use get for iPhone. Maybe someone in the building had managed to sync the TV with the app and was playing a joke. I don't remember seeing anyone in the hallway outside of the room, but I wasn't looking, so it's possible. I don't know the range of this app or how easily it is to sink. If you have other ideas, I'd be happy to hear them. Thanks for letting me share this with you, and I hope it wasn't too long or boring. What do you think? I think the odds of someone in the main room downloading an app to use for that particular TV is kind of weird. But maybe you could use it for any TV?
I suppose. You could use a universal remote and then maybe accidentally hit it somehow, open it, and turn something on. You know, I've accidentally opened apps before for whatever reason. Maybe. I'll go with a maybe on that. Though it is not, we have heard of many instances. And in my own life, I've had instances where a TV is turned on.
I was cleaning house and I was in the kitchen and it was super quiet. I didn't have music, nothing on. Middle of the afternoon. And this is when I was living in my last house. The house that wasn't haunted, haunted house. And so John wasn't home, my roommate. And all of a sudden, this Spanish just starts really loud in my house. And I'm like, what the hell? And who's speaking Spanish really loudly in my house? Like, really loud. So I go into the living room. The TV's on the Spanish station. It's all the way, as loud as it can go. And I'm looking around for the remote. I can't find the remote. The remote ends up being on my piano. Now, the only thing I could debunk was maybe my cat stepped on the remote and turned on the TV. But John wouldn't have been watching a Spanish channel. Sometimes he did listen to TV really loudly, but that was really loud. So the cat would have had to do multiple things on the remote.
Like be dancing on the
like
remote.
Almost making, like almost making muffins like cats do.
Yeah,
like
do that. A little tap dance.
So I was like, I guess it had to have been the cat. I don't know if it was or not. So when I'm reading that story, I thought, did they have a cat that could have stepped on the remote? I still don't really, really believe it was the cat, but that's what got me. Like, if I believe it's the cat, then it's not paranormal and I can sleep better.
Well, and I had that happen a couple times to me in that apartment that I lived in the old, you know, funeral home building, where we had, it was old enough that above the doors were the windows, those transom windows that, you know, are above. And I remember a couple times I woke up in the night and the room, the living room where the TV was on the other side of my bedroom. And, you know, I had a door that was shut and it, you know, that window faced the living room. And there was a light coming, real bright light shining through that transom. And I'm like, what is on? And I get up and the TV is on and no sound, just the TV is, you know, on, making that bright light. So that happened a couple times. And then my daughter, Kate, had her TV in her room come on a couple times in the night, too. So it happens. Is it possible that a TV can just happen because of a power surge or something?
And you didn't have cats, so you can't blame
the
cats.
No, I can't. We have no cats, right.
So could, and your dogs would sleep with you, so they couldn't have accidentally slept.
Oh, yeah, they're in our room, right. Yeah. So could is there some electrical reason that a TV could just turn on?
But also, there's so many stories that we get with ghosts, spirits, and electricity and turning lights on and off. And the whole electrical thing kind of seems to be a way they can communicate. So them turning a TV on, that kind of makes some sense to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's really weird that she's just in this big room studying 11 o'clock at night. Then all of a sudden the TV comes on loudly. And there's
nobody
there.
And it seemed
to
shake up the other two girls, too.
It must have been loud because
they came out. If we have any people out there that know about, you know, electricity and things, if you know, write us and let us know if the, in case there is some reason and we can debunk this.
Yeah, because
like
if
an electrical surge of some sort might kick on a TV.
Because somebody right now could be listening, rolling their eyes, going, God, they are so stupid. If,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah,
and
blah,
I,
blah.
I think it could be. So let us know. You know, you guys are really good at electricity. I'm not so much, but I'm really good at like art, you know? So like if we got an art ghost, you come to me, we'll talk about it. You know?
And I'm very average at most things. I don't really stand out.
But if anybody has any other ideas, but I do know that it is very disturbing when it happens. There's, you know, you're just like, what in the world? Why would that? The other day, I have a little TV. This is so stupid, you guys, but I have two TVs in my living room, but it's a big, long living room. And I have one at the end by my desk so I can watch the Cubs while I work. And then the other's a big TV where my sofa is. But at any rate, the little TV just kicked on, but it kicked on after we had lost power. And then the power came back on. And then the TV that had been off, it was just on. So I turned it off. And then later I came back and it was on again. So I turned it off. And then later I came back and it was on again. So I turned it off. I'm assuming it had something to do with the power. You know, so
you go ahead and tell yourself that.
I will keep telling myself that. Like the first one, you would understand why it kept kicking on again then.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just turned that thing off.
Is there a way that electricity can surge and turn things on?
That's what I'm asking.
We need somebody smarter than us to fill in. Or right. Maybe I need to spend some time Googling it. But then the explanation would be so complicated, I'd never be able to figure it out. So if someone could put it in layman's terms for us.
Just yes would be a good answer for us. Yes, it could happen.
Well, if you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber. Do that through applepodcast.com. Try it 3 days free. Or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.